Welcome everyone to the Justin and Ryan Bizarro Show. I'm Justin Bizarro. I'm your host. That's B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-O. You can find me on Instagram at Justin Bizarro, and you can find this show or any of our other shows on Spotify or wherever else you wear yourself through podcasts. So that being said, I have a very special guest with us. I've known him for quite a while. He's quite an entrepreneur, quite an athlete, quite a doctor. Just so we're saying, quite the package. His name is James. Dr. James Stetson of Pursuit Performance Rehab and Chiropractic out of Denver, Colorado. How are you doing today, James? I'm doing well. It's hot as all get out here in New York City. It's so humid and hot. I missed Colorado non-humidity. I will take heat over humidity any day. And I thought Georgia was bad. When New York City and the stagnant air and the air not moving between the buildings is something else. I used to live here back in the day in the 2000s, and I forgot how humid and sticky and nasty and smelly it is sometimes when it's this hot. But I'm like, take me back to Colorado at some point for sure. I think about it every day. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about your story a little bit, like your background, how you grew up, what sports you played, how you, became a chiropractor, how you became an entrepreneur, and obviously you're an athlete, because there's a lot of stuff here. There's the CrossFit, there's your ventures into the CrossFit games with Zoe and John and Heather, and doing the team event, and there's a lot of things here. So I really want to dive in and take as much time as we can, because I think there's a lot of information and value you could bring to an audience, to a lot of people out there that are trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives, or how chiropractics work and things like that. So the microphone's yours. Let's go back to baby James. Where'd you grow up? Life? Did you have entrepreneurs in your family? Stuff like that.
I grew up in Kansas City on the Kansas side of the state line, if you know that the city's on both. And I was always in athletics, always in sports. That's just kind of how I grew up and where my passions laid, which is kind of what started me down the trail that led to ultimately what I do now. But when it comes to entrepreneurs with my family, not necessarily in the, starting a new business and building it. My mom was a pharmacist originally. My dad was a trust lawyer. But when my mom ultimately retired from pharmaceuticals, she actually picked up a organization called Happy Bottoms, which is a nonprofit diaper bank within Kansas City, and kind of inherited it through someone in our church. And she grew it from serving only a few hundred families to thousands of families and dishing out multiple millions of diapers throughout the year to underprivileged and unserved families. So that's kind of the little bit of entrepreneurial experience and introduction that I had. But when it comes to my own, building, starting my own practice, it was realistically something that I never wanted to do. I always saw myself kind of working with the team, with someone, but when it came down to it, the best thing for myself and ultimately my family, which is realistically why I do what I do, it just made more sense for me to be the captain of my own ship and be able to define my own timelines throughout my days and weeks and months. And so far, it's been awesome.
Yeah, one of the things I like that you touched upon is that I agree with you on this. And I grew up playing team sports, and I want to talk about your background, because I believe you played soccer and then obviously got into CrossFit. And you have a team mentality. I saw it in you. You're a very team-based individual, as am I. And I literally built a team-based companies for like 24 years until now. I don't have a team-based companies anymore, with sort of everything that fell apart and selling of businesses and all that, and my life sort of falling apart.
Yep.
But now I'm the captain of my own ship. Now it's the same thing for me. While I believe in teamwork and teamwork makes the dream work, it's very hard to have business partners and other people that don't work as hard as you, number one, don't have the same discipline as you, and then that are trying to determine your schedule. Because what's the point of being an entrepreneur sometimes if someone else is going to dictate your schedule? The whole point, I think, of a lot of entrepreneurs is that freedom that we're talking about, in the form of being able to build my own legacy the way that I want to, invest in the children the way that you want to, invest in your family that the way you want to, invest in the humans around you that in the way that you want to, and work out when you want to. So let's go back to soccer and stuff like that. How did you pick up sports? Like, why soccer? What sport? Other sports did maybe you play? And in that, let's talk about that teamwork aspect, because there's a lot of core values in playing team sports that I believe are part of who you are now, just from knowing you. So let's talk about those growing up, the sports, the teamwork, and what you learned from that, and maybe from your coaches.
Sure. So I grew up, you know, playing a little bit of everything. I was always a small kid, so, you know, football and big contact sports weren't necessarily a part of that. But in high school, I played soccer, golf, and baseball. And so I mainly was a team guy. Golf, obviously, a little bit more individual, but in high school for us, it was team defined as well. So individuals working for a larger part, which I always liked. But yeah, I, especially in CrossFit, I have always been a team guy. Individual competition never really, you know, gained my heart. I had a little bit of interest early on just because that was kind of all I really knew. But once there was really no going back. And, you know, even though I say that I work alone nowadays, I work out of my wife's gym, Rigor Performance. And so even though my business itself is just me, I do have a team of people around me that are constantly here, constantly working with me in some form or fashion. So getting away from team stuff has never really been a part of it. But going back to your question, and kind of not trying to ramble on here, I always like working for and with other people towards a common goal. Doing things for myself never really interested me. I like, you know, I like my own time and being, you know, by myself, but when it came to accomplishing things, I always liked being a piece of a greater sum, and being able to bring my strengths and really let those shine, but also let other people's strengths shine and leaning on them when we can. So that was always something that was huge for me. And part of that could be because I came from a really solid family unit as a kid. And yeah.
Like, let's go to the CrossFit stuff. Like, how did you pick up on CrossFit and why? Because I think it's just such a pivoting point in a lot of adults. I mean, you're a chiropractor, right? You study that. You're a doctor. And you're also doing that sport, okay? Because I think that, you know, you're not choosing to run miles upon miles, but maybe you do. You know, I just want to understand the philosophy here, because you're an athlete and a doctor in the body, okay? I would call a chiropractor a doctor of the body, and the way the body moves. And so, like, there's a lot of correlation here in the movement of the body and CrossFit, but, like, you obviously see a lot of individuals who are any, and I don't know if you only do athletic individuals or all humans, but, like, just from my understanding, like, let's talk about the connection there. CrossFit, why CrossFit? Does it tie into chiropractics? Do you see correlations there, like, and just your philosophy overall on both?
Sure.
That's a big question.
Yeah, so it is, but I like it. So I started CrossFit roughly 9 years ago now. I was doing some, you know, traditional bodybuilding type lifting with a buddy of mine from high school, and he ultimately, when I was home one weekend during undergrad, I went to Arkansas, so I was back in Kansas City, and he dragged me to a 5:30 a.m. CrossFit class, and I had seen CrossFit on like ESPN at the games. And if you know anything about the sport, the games level athletes make things look very easy because they do it so dang often. So seeing that, it, you know, didn't look like the hardest thing in the world. Looked like it might be pretty easy to pick up. And I went to that class, and I can still to this day tell you exactly what the class was. We built to a heavy power snatch, which I had never done before in my life. And then it was 21:15:9. Power snatch is a lighter load, and ring dips, also a movement I had never done before. And so I was getting outlifted by just about everybody in that class, men, women, young, old, didn't really matter. I was definitely nowhere close to the heaviest lifter that class. And then we went into that Metcon, and I'm pretty sure I got time capped, and I don't remember what the time cap was, but I got time capped within the set of 15s on the ring dips. So I was getting smoked by just about everybody, and as soon as that class was over, I was in. I did not like, and still to this day don't like, the feeling of losing. I would rather not lose than win. And so I was hooked. And so I started doing CrossFit in the rec center at Arkansas with not CrossFit specific equipment, but making it work, and just kind of fell in love with it. And that just kind of built into, you know, what there is today for me training wise. But I dabbled in some individual competition stuff. Going into chiropractic and into sports medicine didn't necessarily have to do with CrossFit, but as I continued to train, continued to become more competitive, competing at regionals, other competitions, things like that, I became very passionate about movement and moving really, really well. Like I mentioned before, I am not the largest athlete. So for me to be competitive at a high level, I have to move really well and really efficiently in order to keep up with guys that are considerably larger than me and can move larger loads than I can. And so that's where the passion kind of started. Ultimately, I went to chiropractic school over a handful of different options. I had thought about orthopedic surgery. I had thought about physical therapy, but back when I went to school, the scopes of practices between PT and chiropractic were very different within Kansas. And so I could do a little bit more with a chiropractic degree than a physical therapy degree. And to be completely honest, I didn't know a ton about chiropractic outside of my experience with a couple of chiropractors that had treated me, which were always positive. So I went that route so I could try to do a little bit more with roughly the same credentialing. Little did I know that would become somewhat of an issue, as some people out there might know that chiropractors have some somewhat negative stereotypes towards them. But my experience within CrossFit, within sports in general, led me to become a very different chiropractor than most. I like to joke that I'm a bad chiropractor because I do a lot more movement-based things, a lot more almost physical therapy-esque type modalities. I still adjust. I still do, you know, spinal and joint manipulation, but just not to the same degree as most chiropractors. Instead of treating for, you know, 5 to 7 minutes, most of my appointments with people are hour-long. With my goal being my patient's goals and trying to get them out of my office, because even though I like to think that I'm a pretty fun guy, most people don't want to hang out with me in my office a lot of the time for long periods of time. So we you know, try to correct the dysfunction, the movement pattern thing that has gotten them into pain or not moving to the degree that they want to, and then get them out and back to living life. So that was kind of always how I wanted to be treated as an athlete. I had to train. I had to go to class. I had to do all these other things within life, I didn't have time to go to my provider's office multiple times per week. Nor did I really want to pay for it, to be honest. So I kind of flipped the switch and try to treat people how I want to be treated. And most of my clientele is definitely CrossFit, but not all. I definitely treat a lot more athletes than not athletes, but you know, CrossFit has changed my definition of what an athlete is. If somebody is intentionally moving their body in some form or fashion, from CrossFit Games to professional, you know, baseball, soccer, or whatever, to I just want to play with my grandkids intentionally and not have pain doing it, or here in Colorado, I want to go hike a 14er and not have to feel that for 7 days after. Those are all athletes to me. So in that regard, pretty much all of my clients are athletes.
Yeah, I like this a lot, and I actually agree with you 100% on this, just from a philosophy standpoint, and like a biblical standpoint, honestly. Like anyone who's moving and trying to grow their body or not stay stagnant, which I would call mediocre, like striving for like average is better than not doing anything, which I would call mediocre.
100%.
And anyone who's moving or trying to better their life or be more active in life, in the biblical sense, it is an athlete or a warrior athlete. Like you're not satisfied, and that's not a bad thing, but you want to be better. You don't want to hurt at night. You don't want to be weak. You don't want to get freaking run out of breath running for a soccer ball two times with your grandchildren or child, you know? And I think, you know, and I think there's a lot of that going on. I think your generation in particular, and somewhat of my generation, Gen X, there's a lot of this, for, as a man, not wanting to have the dad bod, not wanting to be the father that goes to the soccer games and can't run after the ball after it goes after the field and come back winded walking if the ball goes out of bounds, you know, if they're trying to help out. And there's a lot of this mentality going on in activity. And I think that it's a good thing for society. I think it's a good thing for our lives. Talk to me about how you sort of came to this, because I do agree with you. I think, well, one, I think that the way you handle chiropractics, the philosophy, the movement, the about it not just being on a table and moving a few joints around here and there, for lack of a better term, not like that isn't good, but it chiropractics has come a long way and it should always be evolving like everything else. But talk to me a little bit how you ended up here. How did you end up like saying, okay, I'm an athlete, I move this way, I need to like be brave enough, I need to be entrepreneurial enough, I need to be free thinking enough to not just do what everyone else is doing and put chiropractics in the same box as everyone else?
Sure. So I will probably push a few buttons of any chiropractors that listen to this. And to that, I apologize. But, you know, during my time at school, I got a lot of experience. I had a lot of different varying opinions that were, you know, placed upon me and talked through, and things that I got to see through people. And, you know, every time I treated a patient, I would adjust them. And in school, it was pretty much just adjustments. And then like electrical stimulation or different lasers, things like that for treatment. And the thing that I noticed more than anything is these people would feel pretty good for a handful of days, and then, you know, what they were experiencing would come back, and so they would come back to see me. And, you know, that's good and well if somebody wants to be doing that, but I never wanted somebody to come back to me on short order because they had to. For me, it never made sense to always need to be treated. We are, you know, organisms that definitely feel pain and feel pain relatively consistently, but if we're always feeling the same things, then we're never changing anything. So through my experience with CrossFit, and as I'm going to say that word a whole lot because it really has defined a lot of my viewpoints and things that I do, is I would see people of all ages go into CrossFit gyms not knowing how to move their body, for one, or having some low-grade pains, start working out, start moving well, having good coaching, and not only change the way they move and the way they look, but also start to change the way they feel on a physical and on a mental level. And so that always started to make a whole lot of sense to me. And, you know, no matter what you do, there's always a pretty good chance that you're going to have pain of some sort at some point in time within your life. Just natural. But when people would come to see me, I wanted to help them solve the root of that pain and not just slap a Band-Aid on, you know, their low back pain. I wanted to give them tools that they could then use without me so that they can treat themselves. Because when I have aches and pains, that's kind of what I do, is I do a little bit of treatment myself, and when the things that I have learned don't quite work, then I go see somebody to get me over that hump, and then hopefully I don't see them again for a long time. So it never made sense for me to try to stick people on care plans that were multiple visits a week and kind of lock people in for life. I don't believe that you need or should need services for life on a maintenance type schedule. Maintenance always bugged me as a word, because if we're always maintaining, then like you said before, we're not pushing for more. We're staying mediocre, to use your own words. So if somebody wants to come in to see me on a consistent basis, then we're doing what I call performance care. We're going to try to get better at something and improve your life so that you could be like some of those athletes that I would see in the gym that are upper 70s, lower 80s, that are still doing, you know, barbell deadlifts and ring rows. And there was an athlete in Kansas City. He actually was a chiropractor himself back in the day, and he was upper 70s, and he could push out some of the most beautiful push-ups that I've ever seen in my life. And that is what I want for the people that I work with, and what I want for myself ultimately is to be able to move how I want, when I want, where I want, at whatever age I am, and be able to, you know, when my son is 21, still show him, you know, who's boss when we play pickup basketball.
Can't let them win too easily. They need to be tough ones.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you got to earn it. That one.
So that's kind of what motivated me to do things very differently. I'm in a very hot button type of profession where there are people that are just stuck in their ways. And I just don't think there's one way to do things. So I do things a little bit different.
Yeah, one of the things, I'm going to touch upon this because I agree with this, and I think there's a difference between addressing a symptom and a problem. And I actually went through this, like, in Nashville, I was working out a lot and running a lot, and I weirdly, like, twisted funny I was doing a networking event, and I twisted funny, and my knee got weirdly unstable, and like the inside of my groin, the muscle that goes from the knee up to my groin, I don't know what it's called. I think it's part of the hamstring, but who knows? I'm not a doctor. Got really tight. And like I went to a chiropractor. I'm like, okay, something's off, probably in my knee or my hip. I don't know what. And like they stuck to that as the problem. Like the problem must be my knee. And they tweak it and work it, and my knee would swell up, and it would just be hugely painful, and I wouldn't be able to walk right for like days. And I'm like, this routine goes on for like probably a month and a half, where I'm in there every week. Every time I go in there, it almost gets worse. It doesn't get better. That the muscle going up my leg gets tighter. Then, like, the muscle on the outside of my leg from my knee to my hip is starting to get tighter. I'm like, something's not right here. Like, we're not, maybe we're addressing something different.
Yep.
And it took me a while. Like, it took me a lot of doing my own research, talking to some other individuals that look at PT differently, looking at chiropractic differently, and finding a James-like chiropractor in the city of Franklin, Tennessee. And what I discovered was actually my foot that was causing the problem. And it's just crazy because sometimes I think if we look at things too traditionally, we're addressing the symptom, not the actual problem. And I mean, I spend, I don't even know how much money and how much time and, you know, going in and out of it, sometimes twice a week, just trying to walk. I'm like, why can't I walk? What's wrong with my knee? Why can't my hip would like feel like I'm slinging my leg around? And at the end of the day, it all turned out to be my foot and then into my calf and the way it was pulling on my knee and my hip because of it. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because I you know, from Zoe and John and watching you at the CrossFit Games and work with the backcountry team and the Omnia teams and stuff like that and all the work you've done for those CrossFit athletes who are athletes. You know, there's a lot of them in Denver, really hardcore CrossFit athletes. And like I would say, it gives you a different definition of athlete in some ways, like a professional athlete. Like what a CrossFit athlete trains, like the well-roundedness of their body, the total package is totally something else, in my opinion. Like, compared to other sports, like, I get those other sports, and I'm not calling them professional athletes, but the whole concept of athlete and, like, the ancient Greek version of an athlete comes to mind when it comes to, like, CrossFit, this well-rounded Renaissance human that's a well-rounded athlete that's good at mastering many different things, not just one sport or one activity, but many, many activities that benefit through life. And then mostly, and I'm going to say this, I want to tie back to my thing, but I feel that I should say this, is that being in CrossFit as a man fulfills, and it's not saying that women should do it, women should do it for a million different reasons, but as a man, as a protector and a provider of our family, and if there's ever a fire in our house and we need to carry our children and our wife out the door, we want to be in CrossFit. Like, if you're 250 pounds and you're 70 pounds overweight and you sit on the couch all day and there's a fire in your house, how are you going to, save your family? Okay, that's not, I'm not going to go to an extreme like intruder in the house or whatever. Let's just talk about a fire. Let's just talk about, you're in a bad situation in the middle of, you know, Moscow, Russia. How are you going to protect your family? You got to be somewhat, for lack of a better term, intimidating by your physical abilities. Okay? So that's one of the things that I like here. And the other part is, in order to maintain that and do what I would call preventative maintenance, is you have to actively go to chiropractors like James, not because you maybe necessarily have a problem, but you want to check in like once a month. I've learned this over the last few months. Okay, I don't have anything going wrong, but I don't want anything to go wrong. Let's tweak. Let's see where there may be problems that I'm not seeing yet, where there are some symptoms that we need to identify some problems. And it's really my movements, my ability to lift weights, you know, and I've been doing CrossFit for over 10 years. I used it to rehab my shoulder from shoulder surgery and 3 torn rotator cuffs and a bicep, pectoral, and labrum torn and all that type of good stuff and cadaver parts and cow parts and 3D calcium screws, all the fun things that you have to do. And my shoulder, when it first happened, I couldn't move it more than like 30 degrees. So the fact that I can get it over my head and lift a bar over my head and almost 240 pounds right now, and I'm sitting at 187 pounds right now, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot. Yeah. I'm 43 years old, guys. Like, I could probably go more. But when I've started doing this preventative maintenance, which is also why I asked James to be on here, because he sits by this philosophy. I know him. He works with Zoe and John, who I've talked about in my podcast. And the ability to do that by actually doing preventative maintenance on your body, like someone with James, will increase your numbers, because your body, to James's point at the very beginning, becomes more functional. You move better. There's a lot of things that I was throwing up the bar. I grew up on a farm. I was like, farm strong. Let me throw it around. Let me use all my strength and like grit muscle and whatever, brute strength to do stuff. But I wasn't actually letting my body's movement work for me so I could push the weight higher, so I could become stronger, so I could move better. And that's what we're talking about here. So, James, like, let's talk about the CrossFit Games, that experience with Zoe and John and being a team member, because I know it's something you always strived for. Like, you guys in 2021 went to the CrossFit Games in Madison, Wisconsin. What an amazing event. And for me, like, it still brings tears to my eyes. Like, I'm almost going to cry right now just watching you guys be able to fulfill that dream, work so hard, really in the last very moment pull it out for the regionals to qualify for the games. Will you just dive into that story? Because I think that you're a chiropractor. You're now an entrepreneur. You're a husband. You're a father, or at least an engaged. You're engaged, I believe. I don't know if you're married, but all of those things, like, you're all of these things, but you're also this athlete that accomplished something that most people could only dream of, you know? So let's talk about that. Like, how did you find time to train? How was the team experience? Talk to me about your teammates. Let's really dive into this, if you don't mind, because I think it's hugely important to also anchor your skill set as a chiropractor, because you are this professional athlete that did go to the CrossFit Games.
Sure, yeah.
So, and just so the audience knows, I'm going to do a spoiler alert, but everyone wants to hear this story, because I literally watched James working out in our garage dislocate his knee and put it back in. Like, one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just happened.
Yeah, that happened.
It's funny that we're talking about this. One of my patients this morning was asking me kind of the same question. So I, not to toot the same horn again, but I have never been a large human being. When I was competitive early on, especially during my time in Kansas City, going to regionals, going to semifinals was always the goal for me. I never really considered the games as a true potential. I always thought it'd be awesome. Obviously, it's the pinnacle of the sport. It's what, you know, everybody that competes most likely wants to go for. But I never really thought I was in the cards for me. And so when I moved out here, I actually was a year, nine months removed from an ACL and a meniscus reconstruction on my right knee. Not the one that I dislocated, luckily. And so I actually thought that I was pretty much retired from competitive CrossFit, and I was okay with that at the time. And then I came out here to Denver. Always knew that I was going to come to backcountry due to some family stuff. My mother and Becky Conselman were really good friends. If anybody knows of Becky, she is the founder of FaithRx, and she was a games athlete of her own. And so they had this really good friendship, and so backcountry was always where I wanted to go. And when I got there, I was still in the rehab process. I still wasn't moving, you know, fully. And John actually learned that I had competed at regionals before, and for a little while was joking about starting a team. And then when the rule book came out for 21, he asked me more directly if I wanted to be a part of a team and try to go to the games. And I said, you know, I don't know how much I'm going to give you or be able to give you, but whatever I can, I will. And the rehab process went well, and, you know, I was able to contribute enough that we ultimately were able to do pretty well in quarterfinals, qualify for the West Coast, and then qualify for the games out of that West Coast semifinal. Yeah, for me back then, that was pre-family, that was pre-Sandra. I was working at a different clinic where I was ultimately in the office 50 to 55 hours a week, which meant that my life was work, train, eat, and sleep. And there really wasn't a social aspect to life, which if the games are your goal is something that happens a lot. Your social life is your life training and the people that you train with. And so, like you mentioned, going into that last workout on the West Coast Classic, we were in sixth place, the first spot out of a qualifying position. And so we needed to do well and then also get some help from some of the teams behind us to sneak in. And we ultimately, we took second in the event. And when we crossed the finish line, I had a pretty good feeling that we had qualified. So if you actually go back and watch the live stream, you can hear me kind of yell as we crossed the finish line. and then John was actually very not convinced that we made it. He thought we were still on the outside looking in. That's cool. Which made me more questioning of whether I was right or not. and so, you know, we were expecting hearing, you know, fifth place or not hearing our name called for that ticket punch to Madison. And we ended up taking fourth. So we were all surprised at the position that we took, but just surprised that we made it in general. And for me, that was probably the most impactful part, not necessarily competing at Madison. It was punching that ticket and creating and completing a dream that I had always had and never thought I would accomplish. And then, you know, the hardest part of going to the games is actually the training in between that that qualification and actually getting on the floor in Madison. And it was during that time that I dislocated that kneecap in training and would go on to dislocate it again about 2 weeks out from us leaving for Madison. And later... to find out that I actually tore one of the ligaments that connects to your kneecap, called your MPFL. If anybody watches the NFL out there, it's the same injury that Patrick Mahomes had where he dislocated his kneecap. And so I'm just more prone to that happening now.
Apparently it's a Kansas City thing.
Right. Apparently so, yeah, yeah. So that was kind of scary that we, you know, I was not going to be able to compete at the level that I wanted to, but, you know, I told John, Zoe, and Heather that we're going to go out on that floor. Even if I can't compete, we're going to go until the wheels fall off. But ultimately, that was not a problem and we were able to, you know, have a hell of a time, ultimately take 20th in the world and just really enjoy the experience. And as fun as competing in front of that many fans is on that stage, it flies by so fast. And those moments on the floor don't compare, in my opinion, to the moments that you spend with the people that were around you. So a lot of my favorite memories from that whole experience are the ones where it was the four of us just hanging out in the Airbnbs that we stayed at for West Coast and then out in Madison. And those are the things that I will never forget and that I will always cherish. So Yeah, I think that answers your question.
Yeah, and absolutely. And what, I mean, because you guys went to the games, I mean, it was the catalyst of John asking Zoe to marry him. And yeah, like, what a
also
crazy
cool memory.
Yeah, and like, this whole chain of events happened that you got to be a part of. And like, life, this is where, like, for me, God stacks up these things over a period of time, and we may not understand what he's doing, but he's leading us somewhere. And like, there's so many things that came out. 20th in the world, like, I mean, it was awesome to watch you guys. You and John doing that lifting event that you guys did, where I don't remember, maybe it was overhead, shoulder to overhead movement. I can't remember it exactly.
Oh, the clean and jerk.
Clean and jerk, yeah. And and just watching how well you guys did in it, both of you guys. And you talk about being a small human, but you really moved weight that day. You know, and I think both of you on the stage, you guys – you know, in particular, and Zoe as well, you guys really thrived in the limelight, for lack of a better term. That spotlight on you, giving you guys that stuff, and of course there's mistakes and learning, and it's a long weekend of like 4 days of working out basically, and like multiple times a day, and just going to the max. But I agree with you, what an experience. The Airbnb, the watching you guys become a team, I mean, for a lot of us, even as fans, I don't think we wanted it to end, because it was just so fun and cool to watch you guys fulfill your dreams. And I'm always rooting for you guys. I always have been, and you too, James. And like, I always want to see you guys win. It's just who I am. I like rooting for other humans, and rooting for those I care about. And so that's just one of the things that but it also just is a testimony to what kind of doctor you are and what kind of chiropractor you are and the type of human that you are and the discipline that you have, okay, and the core values that you have. It wasn't easy for you to manage your schedule doing the chiropractics and working out and the schedule John and Zoe and Heather were keeping, because they were working at the gym basically and you were having to adjust your schedule and keep up with them. And so it's one of the things that I think it's hugely important as an entrepreneur that necessarily isn't a gym owner in the CrossFit space in particular, trying to be an athlete, keep up with the athletes, keep your job and your profession, because one day you do want to have a family and be able to take care of them. It was, for me, even though I'm older than you, it was good to see. It reminded me of the hustle of when I was your age. It reminded me of that what it's like to time is your enemy, but time is your friend so long as you don't get distracted by things. You know, if Absolutely. You stay focused, you stay driven, and it helped build your reputation. You know, being that athlete, getting that experience, built your reputation as a chiropractor, as a doctor, as an entrepreneur, as an athlete. I don't think anyone will, particularly me, will ever not have huge amount of respect for you guys going through what you went through, or a huge amount of respect, because as an athlete and playing soccer over in Europe and playing soccer for as long as I did, understand what it's like to muscle through an injury like you had, or that instability in your knee. So amazing. So this will be my last question as we go through things, at least I think so. How did you you talked about you wanted to be the captain of your own ship, and you met Sandra right after the CrossFit Games. You guys have a child, you're a father, but and I'll get into that maybe a little bit, but talk to me about this decision to basically be your own, what I would call man, be the captain of your own seas, as the poem would go. And talk to me about that, because it's not easy. Someone that, you know, particularly your age, particularly as a doctor, you don't normally, maybe in chiropractic it's a little more common to be an entrepreneur, but maybe not. So talk to me about how you came to this, because I think there's a lot of confidence that you had to have, a lot of discipline knowing that you're going to try this. But talk to me how you got into, you know, pursuit performance.
Sure. Yeah. This will probably be my last question, because I got to wrap it up for a patient here. Unless you want to pick it up here another time, but I don't want to answer that. I mean, the life I was living before meeting Sandra and even a little bit thereafter was definitely more of a selfish lifestyle, but I was the only one that I really had to concern myself with. And as soon as we had Luke, our son, priorities shifted very heavily and very quickly. And you kind of get more of a perspective on life. And, you know, I always like to think that I had a pretty good perspective of my time as an athlete. Not that I'm not anymore, but not quite as much so. And the fact that, you know, I exercise faster than other people for sport. And, you know, the joke that I always make is, you know, I could put on one of my games uniforms from head to toe and walk out to the grocery store later this afternoon, and not a single person is really going to think twice about it, other than probably thinking I'm a psychopath for wearing matching shorts and tank top and shoes. So you know, the world that we find so important isn't important in the grand scheme, which I think is really important to keep in perspective. And so when Luke showed up, you know, my desires as an athlete shifted slightly to, you know, I want to be a really great example of what a father can be, what a husband can be, and what my son has to look up to as he grows up, which meant, you know, more time with him, less time working, which could mainly be accomplished by opening my own practice, and also allowing me to, you know, define my own training schedule and make it a little bit more advantageous for my family. So that is ultimately what drove me to doing this on my own. So pretty much every decision that I make nowadays is, you know, how is this going to affect my family? How is this going to affect their future? And not necessarily, how am I going to get back to the CrossFit Games? And I would love to do that, don't get me wrong, but it is not the number one priority anymore.
I want it more.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely, James. I will reach out to you. We'll do a part two because I have a lot of other questions and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and we can work through it now that we've got one under your belt. But I appreciate your time, and I want to make sure you get to your client. But I will put all the information where to find you on Instagram in the notes for everyone so they can find you.
Perfect.
Stuff like
Perfect.
That. And also, thank you guys for listening in. Again, you can find us on Spotify or wherever else you grow yourself through podcasts. Thank you guys. I love you guys for listening in, and we're out.